Welcome to the Homeopathy for Mommies radio show. Your host, Sue Meyer, is a Catholic wife and homeschool mom of 11. She shares her knowledge of the study of natural alternative medicine with you. While this show is not intended to diagnose or name any disease, through her experience, Sue will share helpful information to help you further your study into the amazing world of homeopathy. And now, here's your host, Sue Meyer.
Today on Homeopathy for Mommies, we are honored to have Dr. Dinesh Chowan as a special guest, one of the most influential teachers in today's homeopathic world. Dr. Dinesh Chowan has practiced classical homeopathy in Mumbai, India for over 16 years. He is well received by his patients as a caring homeopath and a dedicated teacher to students all over the globe. Dr. Dinesh has lectured internationally, and he has a 3-year clinical course program in Japan, Serbia, and Israel. He also conducts video courses and has created online courses for homeopaths in Canada, England, Japan, Belgium, Egypt, and the United States. The essence of his work reflects in the concept of an integrative, inclusive, holistic approach in homeopathy. He uses this multidimensional approach not only in case-taking, but in materia medica, repertory, and also in provings. This has brought many to look at these aspects in homeopathy from a different perspective rather than making it a fixed two-dimensional approach. We are pleased to invite you to join us inside Sue's Members Corner for a series of live trainings with Dr. Dinesh on child-centric holistic homeopathic healing. The first of 6 sessions will begin on April 19th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This series of training will be focused on case-taking for children at various age stages and will be happening monthly throughout the rest of 2024. Each training session will cover different stages of a child's life, from infancy to teenage years. You can access the live sessions or the recordings as a member of Sue's Members Corner. Go to members.homeopathyformommies.com to register now and join us for the first session on April 19th. And now here's the interview with Dr. Dinesh and Sue.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Homeopathy for Mommies. I'm Sue Meyer. And today we are here with my mentor from back in 2010 or 2011, Dr. Dinesh Chowan from India. He's one of the world's most renowned homeopaths, and not only is he a fantastic homeopath, but he's probably one of the best teachers I've ever run into. And I am so pleased that he is here joining us today, because you all hear me talk about him all the time. And we finally get to meet him here on this podcast. And he is going to be, in the future, he's going to be teaching classes to our members in our Members Corner. And so we're so thrilled to have you here today, Dr. Dinesh. I'm just going to let you have the floor here and tell us about you and your training and how you came to be such a fantastic, well, you won't, you're so humble, you probably won't say you're a fantastic teacher, but where you get your training and how you come to be here with us today.
So let's start right from the beginning, since it is for mommies. And so, you know, we start from the right early childhood, how it started. The first part, if I see it, I spent my first 8 years with my grandmother. She was 65, her all children and grown up gone to cities, you know. So she wanted me to stay when I was just 2 that time. And she wanted to raise me, you know. So the best was I belong to first childhood, you know, early imaginary age. And she in her second childhood, 65 to 70. She's already finished all the, you know, kind of logical thing. So she was in unconditional space. I was in unconditional space. And that worked very well for me. Those 8 years, she provided that unconditional space where my individuality and my, you know, my whole being preserved and came out beautifully.
Well, that's beautiful.
So that was the first part, yes. Then I came to Bombay, and this is when around 10 and 14 where I was very notorious and didn't wanted to study at all. Didn't understood the city life, basically, you know, the way I was raised in village. So there, you know, this guy, I remember he was doing his civil engineering. And he, you know, thought that he will teach me, and which worked very well. And he used to teach with photographs, you know, with his books, with pictures. So first picture I remember still, he showed me a picture of a woman, you know, in a wild, in a dark, with a almost, you know, very minimum cloth, scared. And he told me, "What do you see here?" And I was just, you know, maybe in 13, 14, somewhere there. And I said, "Oh, she must be, you know, physically abused or sexually abused or something like that." And he nicely, you know, he put very beautifully, he said, "Your first thought should be, you know, positive. Imagine if you think like this, that he came there to just give her an unconditional space. And in that unconditional space, she can express out what she's going through. And once she express out, he then can give an advice based on what she's gone through and not on the fixed condition which he already had in his mind." So that you know, that's the advice was perfect.
Wow.
And the last way which shaped my whole journey was this one, that, see, I put it this way, that there was a girl, you know, when I was in 10th standard, you know, her name was Sonmali, which I also mentioned in my right brain book. Now, she was very studious, belonged to one religion, very studious, and her whole aim was to become a doctor. And at that age, she was so pure, and she was, you know, in the evening time, she would teach. And morning to evening, she would just study and then she would teach. And that's where she started teaching me. And then I wanted to be like her, you know, she would teach me. And I remember when I finished my 10th, she was just a standard ahead of me or something like that. I got the news that she got an accident and she died in her hometown.
Oh.
And then, of course, that the way she was, that unconditional space, the way she wanted to be a doctor, and I took it up. Till that time, I had no interest in study.
Oh.
I took it up that I will be a doctor. Still, it was not which one, but I will be a doctor. Till just 10 years back, where I realized this story I told to my wife, my every friend knows about this. Till I realized this was my imaginary friend. You understanding it?
I do.
And it's this is where when the heart thing happened, and I was looking back all these things, where I knew that I stayed with this story and totally real. And so it starts like this, that for that in a girl, I wanted to be like her, in that the way she was pure, unconditional, and just giving, and be a doctor. That's it.
Wow.
This is how it started.
That's amazing. And your good and kind heart took you to where you needed to be, so you could be our teacher now.
But then homeopathic journey was initially not good, but because I always wanted to be a neurologist. So, you know, in India, like how first you want to be a modern medicine doctor, if given a chance.
Right.
So I wanted to be a neurologist. My sister, she was doing ophthalmic surgery, you know.
Okay.
And my brother, to-be brother-in-law at that time, he was pursuing cancer surgery.
Wow.
So looking at them and, you know, whenever I would meet them, I wanted to be like them.
Sure.
And that's what I did in 4.5 years of homeopathy. My whole aim was to become a neurologist. And I didn't like homeopathic subject. But do you know how life is? I hated so much, you won't believe that I hated. Dr. Rajan used to come and teach us in that hospital where I was studying Monday. And I hated him the most because he was doing those raga proving that time, you know, which I didn't understand. My logical mind said, this is not what science is all about.
Oh, funny.
But see, now interesting, I passed out. Yeah. I joined a neurologist. He liked my, you know, approach of the way I was studying neurology. He said, even neurologic student, the way you are approaching, they don't do it.
Okay.
So he, one fine day, they had a meeting and they said, young man, can you come and present the case of a Parkinson to us?
Ow.
For me, this was best, you know. I remember that time I was just joined Farooq Master, you know, he's a homeopath here.
Yeah.
And I didn't like homeopathy, so I used to go in the evening just because my friends were going there. Now, he said, go for it, Dinesh. Nobody gets such opportunity. Make best of it. I went, I presented the case in a modern medicine way. Definition, sign and symptom, differential diagnosis, therapeutically, this, this, this. He said, very good. So one of them said, in this Bombay hospital, which is one of the big hospital here, we have two cases of Parkinson admitted under me. Why don't you take the cases? Yeah? And next day present to me. For me, again, it was the big opportunity, you know, which just passed out homeopath getting this. I did it.
Goodness.
I presented very well in front of him, but modern medicine way. I said, and then I said, this, 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 and therapeutically, this, 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 allopathically. He said, where is your homeopathy?
Oh.
So I said, simple, sir. The first patient needs agaricus, and second patient needs sickle core. He said, why? I said, because therapeutically, this covers this kind of disease, this covers this kind of disease. Now here, shock came. He looked at me and he said, where is your individualization, holism and similimum? And I was, when I looked at him, I got scared, but I was genuine. I said, we only study, we don't practice. We do therapeutics. He got angry. He looked at me and he said, I know you hate your science. And I know you love my science. He said, young man, you can never master what we do. We spend 9 years in this. So, you know, just forget about it. You have done well. Now go back. And he mentioned five homeopaths' name in Bombay. He said, I know them. They are classical masters. And he said, take my advice. Go back, learn your philosophy. And these five books I tell you, go and read. It will change your life. And imagine a DM Nero telling me to read homeopathic books, five of them.
Oh my goodness.
I was shocked. And then he said, genius of homeopathy, the prince by Stuart Kloss, principle and art of practice by H.A. Robert, science of homeopathy by Mr. Vitolkas, spirit of homeopathy by Dr. Rajan Shankaran, and one more book, principle and practice of homeopathy by Dr. M.L. Dhavale. He's a homeopath in India. The school is there on his. This was complete. And then I went to Farooq Master and I told him, sorry, I have to leave you. I have to pursue my journey in this way. I have understood that my journey lies in case taking. And if you allow me to go, I'll go back to the college and start from the beginning again.
Oh my goodness. That is an amazing story. I have not heard that before.
This was the, and since then I never looked back. You know, it is like one thing I, and then of course, when I went back, I got a post of a registrar in the hospital, homeopathic hospital. And look, my irony, the man whom I hated the most in while studying. So they are my first boss, Rajan Shankaran. My second boss, Farooq Mas. They were all attached to that hospital that time. My third boss, you know, like that, all my, I had six, seven bosses.
Oh.
And, but best is all classical masters, different school, but classical master.
Wow. That's amazing.
And that's where he, Dr. Rajan Shankaran, then once I finished those posts, he said, I like your dedication. You won't believe, if we have time, this I want to tell you. I was with him for 1.5 years.
Wow.
I took, and it's a government hospital, you know, you have to take fast cases.
Okay.
So I told him every case I will take in the night and I will present to you when you come in on Monday. He used to come for 2 hours.
Okay.
I presented, I took 180 cases in 1.5 years.
Oh my goodness.
In 179, my remedy was wrong. And you know how he is, right? If you tell him, oh, this is the case, this is the case, this is the... And according to me, it is pulsatilla. And he would look at me, you know, he will talk to a patient and he'll say, calcarea silicata, 201 dose. And when I ask, why? He would say, next patient, please.
Oh.
But by end of that, what it did is it gave my first clue that my journey will go towards case taking, understanding a human being, you know, tailor there. But he offered me his book. That time he was working on sensation method and insight into plant, on plant remedies.
Right.
And that's where he gave me to write this, though my English was not good. But he said, no problem, we'll have editor one, you know, you do it. When I finished that, that's where I asked myself what I want to do. And the answer came is case taking, case taking, case taking. And that's where, though I worked for 2 years on Materia Medica, I went towards case taking.
Wow. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. See, that's what happened to me because I learned my case taking from Dr. First time I heard case taking was Dr. Chatterjee out in Portland. And then a few months later, I was able to attend your seminar here in Stillwater, Minnesota. And I was so enthralled. That's where I got to meet Dr. Barbara Lowry then. And then she took me on and she became my mentor as I studied. And so when I wanted to get certified in homeopathy, I was working with, took that boot camp with Dr. Deborah, can't remember her name right now. But anyway, she said she couldn't believe the teachers that I had. And she said, so you're going to have to literally forget everything and go back to, you know, to the very basics. And so once I did that, I was, you know, able to pass the certification. And, but it is, like you said, it's so different from just, okay, we have classical homeopathy, but you're classical in the sense that you find that correct remedy and give that remedy. So that's what, you know, people don't understand is like classical is you take the rubrics and then you choose this, you know, the simulum for like the basic symptoms. But with you, why don't you tell us the difference between, you know, what we know as classical here in the US and what you do? Because I know yours has been a journey as well. You've changed throughout the years, but in essence, you can tell us the difference.
I'll tell you. See, and I'll tell you because I know the other audience, so I'll put it this way.
Okay.
This is how I explain to my patient about what I do and what why I do. So the first thing in homeopathy is that every human being is a tailor-made piece, having a very natural, unique, tailor-made design, or you call it a pattern or a blueprint or a signature, right? Each one of them have a very unique, natural, tailor-made pattern. The mind and body Mind means the way they think, feel, perceive, sense, and react to different situations, different stages of their life, and the way body react.
Right.
It's very unique to them, from a cell to tissue to organ to system. So the first thing is this, that each one has a tailor-made design. The second thing, which is important, is that this tailor-made design, what we homeopath classical is looking for, is the natural tailor-made design. Why I'm putting it this way? As different stages of our life, different situations of our life, and the different thing have impression on us, now we have two within us. The natural us and the one which has an impression on us.
Okay.
Let's put it this way in homeopathic language now, that the natural us is our individuality. The natural individuality. And the what we have taken is personality.
Okay.
Now, why I call it personality? Because that word comes from persona, mask. The mask what we wear. So now there are two kind of homeopathy. The one which likes to work with persona, what you have taken in different stage, different situation, and one like to work with natural individuality. That's why those people who work on persona, they every stage the remedy may change, because what change? But for classical, who works on a tailor-made design, they are looking for that remedy which is constant, that okay. personality which is constant. Okay. So this is the second point I want to put it here, that we as a classical homeopath, I'm looking for that natural tailor-made design. The whole aim of homeopathic interview is to bring out this natural individualistic characteristic of you, natural individual characteristic at the whole level, as well as mind level, body level. So that's the whole aim of homeopathic interview. Now, how that interview should be? That interview should be simple, scientific, reproducible, which whole aim is to bring out this characteristic of you.
Okay.
Is it making sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Now we say this characteristic, but where? Today, with illness, this characteristic in different stages of their life, different situations of their life, them in their personal life, them in their professional life, them in fear, dreams, imagination, them in their illness. So it's like 7-8 different areas, but if those characteristics which are constantly running must be speaking about individuality of that person.
Wow.
The tailor-made design of that person.
Wow.
That's why my whole last 25 years went into designing patient-centric case-taking module, which I call it case witnessing module. Three steps. Where the step one, I give them an open space. Non-leading space, which Hahnemann said in aphorism number 85. And let them start from different stage, different situation, wherever they want to. When enough time is given, then I guide them. That step, you know, in different areas, different stages of their life, different situations of their life, them in their conscious and subconscious, that is fear, dreams, imagination, and them in their illness. Once these areas have been touched, I definitely know many characteristics have come, and there are some characters which are constant.
Okay.
That I take hold of those constant characteristics, and step two is all about asking, now directing the case towards those characteristics. And once you direct, and if it is right, then all the scattered characteristics, they come together in a beautiful pattern, in a beautiful system. That is the tailor-made designer system of that patient. Is it making
you make
sense?
It sound so easy, doctor.
Now the next aim is, so if you have a tailor-made designer characteristic, then select a medicine which is exactly tailor-made.
Right.
At disease level, diagnostic level, physical level, mental level, holistic level.
Right.
When they come together, then definitely according to the law of holistic cure, the stronger removes the weaker, or stronger make the weaker appropriate, not remove. Let's put it appropriate.
Okay. Wow.
So that's the whole thing.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. I just, yes, it's such an honor to, like I said, to be able to sit and visit with you like this. Why don't you, we had mentioned, we were talking about some of the books you've written, and obviously your life has been a progression of, you know, you've written so many different things and you've had so many experiences. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the books, and then how you've come to where you're at now with your latest book. Isn't your latest book the Right Brain, Left Brain?
Yes, yes. So the whole idea, so as I told you that my whole pivotal point was case taking.
Right.
So the first book which I started working on is about simple, scientific, reproducible three steps of case taking, which I was just talking about.
Right.
Yeah?
I have that book, Case Witnessing.
Case Witness. Yeah. It's all about what are these three, how these three steps are universal, how to apply in case taking, and when to ask, what to ask, how to ask in different stages of case taking. So those appropriate questions. And the book is called The Scientifically Intuitive Case Witnessing Process, The Journey of Three Steps.
Okay.
The idea was scientifically
right,
intuitive. The science guide you towards the intuition, that, and not just the intuitive case taking. System leads you there.
Right. Okay.
So that's my first book. It's all about case taking in different stages of life, like with children, with grown up, with old age. Case taking in different situations, yeah, like acute, chronic, chill. So basic grid of model of case taking, which can be applied in any school they belong to. And I am in 25 years, I'm teaching. This is what, you know, which is assist, you know, it's not one person, one system, one
right,
method centric. It can integrate. So that was my whole idea of giving that way.
Wow.
So that was the first. And then when I gave that, yeah, and created those three steps, and we started seeing the characteristics are coming not according to my mind, but according to the individuality of the patient.
Right.
We are guiding.
That's what I think you're so unique for, because like I said, it's, like in just basic classical homeopathy, it's very easy to allow ourselves to see what we think we're seeing without them actually verbalizing that. Because it is really easy to impress ourselves upon the patient, you know. So, and that most to take a step back from that is so important.
Most of the time, 95% of the time, what, you know, many of us do is book-centric, a system-centric, a person-centric, a box-centric method. Then we are actually not listening to that individual, but we are listening to our schema, our schedule, our, you know, box. So that's why the aim was the patient-centric approach.
Right.
And this is where even the, you know, if you see psychology moved from that approach to what Carl Rogers calls client-centric.
Oh, okay. You
know? Yes. So it that way the whole idea was that let's not do from the book, but the client-centric.
Okay. Wow.
So that was the first book. So when I wrote that book, and it took, and we applied it for 7-8 years, by that time I was teaching in 10-15 countries and 15, around 15. So wow. Everywhere the question started coming that for grown-up, it's easy because you have simple logical questions in every step of case-taking. But the children don't follow that logic.
Right.
Especially imaginary children. How will you do this case-taking in them? And a lot of classical homeopath in India, especially those who joined with me, they had this question. And okay. That's where the whole seed slowly, you know, my next book, which you know, we're talking about.
A Wander with a Little Wonder. Absolutely.
A Wonder with a
One
Little
of my favorite
wonder.
Books of all time. I've read so many homeopathy books. And because I have 11 children, that book was life-changing for me because I'd always ask my doctor, why is this pregnancy so different? I'd ask my, you know, relatives, why do I feel so different with this pregnancy than the last and so on and so forth. And with some children, I wanted to sleep all the time. And I felt kind of angry. The next child, I felt like a butterfly. The next child, I felt like I was Superman and I could do anything. I'm painting a house that's 7 months pregnant and, you know, with a paintbrush because I just felt invincible. And every child, like I said, it was so different. And then I read your book and I'm like, oh my goodness. And that gave me so much insight to my own children. And it's really helped me, I believe, to be, you know, a good mother when it comes to giving my children remedies and to know for knowing them and seeing the way they see things, knowing it wasn't just a fluke that I felt like that. It was my reflection, their reflection upon myself. And like I said, I tell moms they should read that book. Maybe if they don't understand case taking, you know, there's a lot of cases in there as well, but just the philosophy behind it was just absolutely amazing. I just loved it. Thank you.
Exactly. And that's where, you know, see the, when the mother understand, you know, because they carry at that time the unconditional love what they carry. And if they understand it, they beautifully can explain even to the fixed logical mind the system and the, you know, whole process behind it.
Right.
That's, and what you are doing is this training right people, a female, so they carry intuitive heart, holistic energy, feminine energy, what we call it. B, they multitask, so they already know it's not one dimensional, like, you know, fixed. It's multidimensional. So that also helped them to integrate well and then come out with this. So they'll understand it much better compared to your training a kind of, you know, a business-minded, you know, male society.
Right.
Or a Greek-oriented, you know, Greek philosophy-oriented, Stoic philosophers. It'll be difficult.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just appreciate the way you see the world and life and the way, like say, intuition, and you appreciate each and every facet of the entire person. And it comes out in your writings and your teachings. And I, for one, have been so thankful just to have met you and be able to study under you. It's just, like I said, everything is so beautiful. And then what's behind it, right? Let's figure out what's going on here. That's what I love.
So this book, the child, the wonder with a little wonder, child-centric case witnessing process is all about, you know, how you do case taking with children age from verbal children, basically, let's say from 2 to 16, you know, or teenage up to. And how to bring out in systematic way their characteristic through child-centric area. They will not go to different stages of their life. They will not go to different situations of their life. They will hardly, they will, but hardly talk about illness. So you need to go to the areas which are child-centric. In imaginary age, it is different. In a teenage, it is different. So that's what I meant by child-centric. Your questions, area you explore should be child-centric. Like in imaginary, it's more of imagination, daydreaming, fantasy, you know, storytelling, once upon a time, fairy tales will help you. Compared to teenage, where it would be being in their alone space, being with their diary, being with their fiction world, being with their friend. So this book was about how to explore verbal children, how to, which area to touch, then how to explore their fear, which is they have dreams, imagination, artwork, interest and hobbies, systematically in all the questions which you can use for these 5-6 areas.
Right. That's fantastic.
And really, after I did that, it worked very well. But as you know, the questions started coming in. The first question which all of them would ask me is, what about non-verbal children? Right. And when they say non-verbal is not before 1.5, non-verbal is all those uniquely able or special children. We call uniquely able from autistic to Asperger to ADHD to learning disorder to cerebral palsy. They say they cannot have your system. And they're right.
Yeah.
So then there, you can't just depend upon observation. You can't just depend up, because your observation, my observation depends upon what I know. If I know 5 remedies, I'll only observe through that. So I need a module which actually takes me out of those observations. So that's where I started working on a next book called Case Taking in Difficult Situation and Difficult Condition, which I'm just going to publish now, which I'll tell you the reason behind it. And in that book, all this difficult condition like non-verbal children, deep irreversible pathology, cancer cases, psychiatric cases, old age, people with belief system and defenses, people with organ transplant, you know, so you have another energy inside.
Yes.
So like that, people with low level of state means they leave life at a very ordinary situation level. How you do case taking with them where you get real characteristic, because our practice would be 50% of these people.
Wow.
Or one-sided disease, basically. So that was the book, you know, which, but when I was working, it took a long time because I wanted to have a good experience before I put it out. And that's where my, you know, my physical trauma happened in my life. And I was taking a break where I got this whole heart issue.
This whole, you make it sound like this.
No, but I don't remember about it anything. So that's why I can talk like this. It was,
okay.
It's those memories wiped out of those 10 days.
Wow.
So there I was, when I was taking a break for 6 months, when I was not well and, you know, I decided to not practice, not teach. One question kept coming in my mind is, that in spite of well-proof, simple scientific case-taking module, not only general module, but in children, in acute, in nonverbal children, in psychiatric cancer, all. In spite of that, I was still seeing a good number of failures. Now, because you yourself have gone through something drastic, you can now look back and actually
experience
genuinely
it.
Look into it, you know, and not like, oh, it's okay, it's okay. You don't find the reason. And this is where struck me something when I was taking this break, and including I was leaving my life there. I said, let's say a homeopath comes to you. I'm not talking about a false homeopath. I'm talking about a genuine homeopath, unconditional homeopath, okay? Classical.
Okay.
Okay. He comes and he's genuinely want to give his case. He's put his heart and soul into it. So he comes and tells me exact chief complaint with location, sensation, modality, concomitant characteristics. He tells me his body characteristics. He tells me his mind characteristic with terms of fear, dreams, imagination. He tells me in different stages, different situations, conscious, subconscious. And I'm convinced. I'm also genuine talking to him. I know his genuineness. I'm convinced. I'm convinced of the case. I'm convinced of the medicine. Boom. Nothing happens after 3 months or 2 months. He comes, nothing happens. And this, I was at huge, this was going on in my mind, that why this is happening. And I know I put my 25 years in, not to prove, but to actually create a system. I realized that most of us who are left brain, logical brain, what we call Google brain or Wikipedia brain, we give the characteristic in every stage, every situation, but we are giving characteristic from logic.
Right.
So if I tell logic, I tell, okay, this is my characteristic. Look, doctor, same was in my childhood. I only remember those incidents of childhood which are matching with this. Then I tell, look, doctor, this is the similar dream I had. I'm only inviting from my subconscious this.
Okay.
So what I understood is that I need in my case-taking module, which is systematic, foolproof, scientific, some question, artistic question, or some methods which are spontaneous, which takes person to that spontaneous him, natural him, not with system he built. If I can do that, then I will get the natural characteristic. And then I check what came up in my scientific case taking and spontaneous. If they match, this is his center.
Wow.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It really does.
The right brain approach in homeopathy book is all about it.
Right. And I was fortunate enough to be able to take your class, most of it. And fascinating, just fascinating. It is. So you came up with this, like you said, in your 6 months off, when you were on a break from homeopathy while you were healing from your heart issue. And this is when all this came to you, because you actually had the chance to experience that, a different place that you had never really experienced before.
Exactly. This is where that imaginary friend Somali came back.
Okay.
That this is illogical, cannot be explained. This is where my childhood, let's say, incident and all came up, which was spontaneous, cannot be explained.
Right.
And then when I look back on those, I'm actually completely different than what logically I thought I was.
Right. Wow.
So And that gave me a very, that especially in people like us, you know, we are genuine, but because the knowledge comes in between, we are homeopath, we know.
Right.
People like us, people like psychologists, people like physicists, people like modern medicine doctors, people who live the life at a situational level, daily basic situational level, they need the spontaneous thing to understand them. Otherwise, they'll give me all logical.
Exactly. Exactly.
And what
Wow.
benefit this did is, those cases which I thought difficult, it made it easy for me.
Wow. That's amazing.
That
That's
is the whole
amazing.
life.
So do you still do case taking today? I know I'm always referring people to you. do you have to turn them away, or are, because I know there's Dr. Reedy and you have another doctor in your immediate office that you do case taking, correct?
Exactly. I do. My practice is Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday for Indian patient, where I do only one new case a day, which is
okay.
There is a 2 hours.
Okay.
Earlier it was 1.5 hour. Now it is 2 hours, because I believe once you get the tailor-made design, you give patient also the tailor-made design.
Okay.
And explain them what you did, why you did, how you understood that tailor-made design, and what is that tailor-made design.
Wow.
And what has happened to that tailor-made design naturally and now where it is.
Wow.
So that takes my half an hour. On those patients who reach there, not those who are only at symptom level, I don't do it because they'll not understand. But those who reach, it's our duty that we understood their individual and whole. Give them. That giving itself will become a similimum field, a remedy, therapeutic.
Right, right. That's amazing.
So I do case taking, yes, daily.
Okay.
Because I was telling Riddhi that the others have, you know, not taking. Now I said, no, because I came up because of those cases while taking, the method becomes better. So
right.
I cannot say that now I can. I have to take a case. So daily, it's one case is fixed.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. I your stamina, and then you teach all over the world. It's just, wow. Okay. Well, what's going to happen here now is I'm going to have to let you go, just because podcasts are only so long, but I'm sure we'll be having you back again someday. And we are going to be having you on our mini trainings in our members corner, and you're going to be just teaching us. And I'm so excited about it. I really am. And you need to keep taking care of yourself, making sure you don't work too hard.
Exactly.
And watch that mountain climbing, you know.
We'll talk in one of this session that how I balance. Sure.
Right. Well, Dr. Dinesh, I can't thank you enough. And I appreciate everything you have to share with us. And like I said, we're going to post all of your, on our website, we'll post your links so that people can find you more easily. And like I said, it's just, we want to share your knowledge with everyone. So
perfect.
Again, I thank you so much. And I appreciate everyone who's listened to this podcast today, and may God bless you and yours.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Homeopathy for Mommies radio show. Please visit Sue on her website, homeopathyformommies.com, and join us right here at homeopathyformommiesradio.com, Wednesday, noon Eastern. As always, we pray the Lord blesses you with good health, vitality, strength, and wisdom.